There are shifts that you must do to understand user intent as it applies to the new SEO and how to meet the needs of your users. We're talking about Google SERP topography and how to chart your path to your user in part two of our interview with Mark Traphagen today on The Edge.
Go! Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics. This week's featured guest is Mark Traphagen, VP of Product Marketing and Training at SEO Clarity. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
This is Edge of the Web. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks of Site Strategics. Every week, we bring you amazing guests to chat with about digital marketing news and trends in our space. So we unpack a key marketing topic for our digital marketing audience. Whether you're part of an agency or a freelancer or part of a firm, this show is for you. Be sure to check out all our recent shows over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Edge of the Web is actually brought to you by Site Strategics, the title sponsor of our show. Site Strategics are the pioneers in agile digital marketing. Our core specialties are SEO, SEM, social media conversion rate optimization, as well as the omni-channel media marketing. Agile marketing, results-based marketing that actually works. If you're interested in what we can do for you, give us a call at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. Just wanted to let you know who has just been on the show recently. Andrew Optimize, Pedro Diaz, as well as Carolyn Lyman. Give those shows a look at and a listen to, because we had a great time with them. And if you're interested in being part of The Edge, just drop us a line at info@edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Set your reminders on YouTube to get notified when we post the videos as well. Also, make sure to check our weekly news podcast covering the most recent digital marketing news and Google updates. We're dropping every Tuesday to help you navigate your digital marketing week. Continue having a guest host there on the news, Morty Oberstein, SEO liaison of Wix. So with all that aside, let's meet this week's industry expert. Mark Traphagen is the VP of Product Marketing and Training for SEO Clarity, a leading enterprise SaaS SEO platform. Mark's a sought-after speaker and writer of the topics on SEO, social media, and content marketing. He's also been named one of the most influential content and social media authors in numerous industry listings. He oversees the positioning and market awareness of SEO Clarity and its products and services, as well as their internal and client-facing training. So there's a lot he's doing in the space. So he's been instrumental in SEO guidance for a lot of different companies, including AimClear, Stone Temple Consulting, Proficient Digital, and Verante. So Mark, it's great to be able to have you on our second segment of our show. Thanks so much for staying with us.
Such a joy to be with you. Enjoy the conversations. Always enjoy the conversations of Edge of the Web. So it's fantastic to be a part of one.
Oh, that's very, very gracious of it. I appreciate it. Well, we're not done yet. It all could fall apart at any moment. You realize that.
Always.
There's always that possibility. Hey, Mark, we talked a good deal about analysis of data and enterprise SEO and some of the problems and the opportunities that are in front of us to be able to move with scale and move with agility in that space. And we talked about SEO Clarity, the software tool that you provide or that you're a part of that helps enterprise SEOs kind of navigate that. I wanted to pivot around to another subject matter that you've been talking about for a while, and that is user intent, understanding the changes of user intent on search. We have all been, over the years, beholden to that rank report, and it has really guided us into some walls over time. The C-level loves to have that trophy word, and they are it's also kind of a double-edged sword. If you give them, hey, look at where we're ranking right now, and then they look at a report, and then 5 months later, whenever that's dropped, they don't know the context of the SEO topography or the SERP topography. They're all of a sudden, they're just seeing that we're fifth now, we were first, what did you do wrong? So there's so much myopic focus on rank and what that means in the SEO industry, let alone the enterprise SEO space. They're pretty much misunderstood. Rank doesn't reflect the topography of SERP. What I mean by that is the actual search engine result page and the real estate that's on that page. You could very well have a position one, but not be above the fold. What are some other metrics that should be more important than just rank?
Well, aside from actual SERP position and the real estate that you hold in the SERP, which I think we need to be more and more conscious of because Google keeps adding new things in there. It hasn't been the traditional 10 blue links for a long time.
Right.
But aside from that, I think something that has been or should have been important to functioning SEOs going way back before our time, way back before, you know, way back when it was just 10 blue links on the page, and that is traffic. Mm-hmm. Like, are you driving traffic? That should be the number one metric. It's why at SEO Clarity, like, we really urge our clients to integrate their analytics, which you can do, with our platform, so that you're bringing those traffic insights into the platform alongside all the other insights that a platform like ours provides, you know, including ranking. And the reason why that's even more important than ever, you know, to make that one of your fundamental KPIs, is because any set of keywords that you're tracking for ranking is a human judgment. It's your judgment, and you can, you know, tools like ours can help you make better judgments at that and discover keywords that you should be tracking. But at the end of the day, you've got this finite set of keywords that you're tracking that you think that's what's important to us, because right. you determine that's what's important to us. But in reality, Google certainly is not limited to that. And more we know Google can look at a page, a piece of content, and say, well, you know, we see all kinds of things that that should rank for, and all kinds of queries that are that could be relevant to.
Right.
Then, you know, a lot of those won't be things that you're tracking. There's always going to be a set of keywords that obviously are important for obvious reasons. You know, they're just dead on what people at the simplest level will be searching for when they look for you. But if you're just concentrating on that, you're missing the larger picture, and you could end up devaluing pages on your site that actually are performing very well for you. So, you know, traffic, I could obviously throw in, you know, conversion metrics on that as well. That's kind of the next level over, although that begins to merge into areas that are maybe a little outside of SEO per se.
Right.
Our main job as SEOs is to get the traffic in there, get it on the site. Then it's, you know, the function of maybe us and a lot of other people to do something with that traffic once it's there. So I think, you know, that I think visibility, metric, being aware that just even being number one these days doesn't even mean that you're visible, right. that anybody's actually seeing you or easily seeing you, combined with an overall traffic awareness, are much more important than just bald rankings.
Right, right. There's something else that's happening here in SEO, and I'd love to have your opinion on this. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Traffic is the coin of the realm for performance, right? And then you have everything on the other side of conversion rate optimization, what have you. We'll leave that particular discussion a little bit later here, but understanding the context in which we are presented to the user on the SERP, if we are singularly focused on rank, we're missing a larger picture. There's a conversation happening with the user on the Google. As soon as you're actually interacting with that Google SERP, you're actually seeing what Google believes is the most important things for its user. And it's bringing the people also ask SERP features in. It's bringing the knowledge panel. It's bringing the featured snippets. It's bringing the image carousel. It's bringing the videos. It's bringing all of these different pieces that are one click away answers or continued drilling down on these key concepts. And Google's having that conversation. If we're not paying attention to the real estate of not only that singular key phrase that may be that money term, but the entire cluster, the entire semantic set of concepts around the intent of the user, right? And what Google understands about that. I mean, Google's learning right now. If we don't understand that those are opportunities for us to be part of that conversation, it's no longer just user traffic. We could very well be positioned in a people also asked link there and not have any inbound, but there's a brand stake that's now visible for us that, yes, we've answered somebody's question. And isn't that a factor of success? That it's not bringing user traffic, but you better believe it's actually qualifying that user to come back to you as a brand whenever they're ready to make that transaction.
Yeah, we talk about the term of search visibility.
Yeah.
Right. And the visibility game, you know, used to be pretty simple because it just visibility simply meant climbing the ladder.
Right.
You know, if I'm at position six, I'm not as visible as I'm going to be if I'm at position three or certainly position one. Mm-hmm. So it was all about that. It was all about moving up. Now it's a much bigger game, and there's a lot more to take into consideration. You know, as you just said, the things like if it's a crowded SERP, where there's a lot of these features in that Google's building in. And by the way, I just want to make a point. I always like to make this point to people. Like we always tend to gripe about or complain about Google taking up space on the page with a featured snippet or people also ask or carousels or all kinds of things that push what we call the web organic links further and further down the page. But we're not just competing with that. Even within those blue link organic results themselves,
right?
With the proliferation of structured data and Google being rich results, we have an interesting graphic that we put out. I publish on Twitter from time to time. We put together because we take a daily weekly SERP capture of of the first page of all of the keywords that we track in our research grid set. Every week we've been doing that for 5 years, so we have this tremendous history of the actual appearance of the SERPs. So we took just the search term hotels, very simple, high level head term, hotels, and tracked it for went back historically, and we did a time lapse, a 1 minute time lapse. In 1 minute, we show you 5 years of how the first page for hotels has changed.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty amazing to look at. You know, people just are awed by it because it really gives you that graphic representation of how Google's constantly shifting where things are. And you can see, the first web organic result kind of come up above the fold and then go below the fold and go all the place. The point here is that if you have these certain terms that are very important to you, and there's a lot of those search features, being at number two might not be as valuable as it once was because number one is getting all kinds of rich results, site links and review stars and other things. All of those are, small, but they add up of pushing your result further down the page. Then it becomes beyond the traditional optimizations. It becomes, is it worth us to invest in some structured data to try to get those rich results?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it worth us to try to fill out our content more so that we're going to maybe get into a featured snippet or we're going to get into a people also ask? As you said, whether or not those get clicked on or not, it's at some point, it's a marketing decision. At some point, SEO is a marketing function. You got to think in terms of the most important thing is getting our brand in front of people.
Right.
And we've got to, accept the reality of the way Google's working and see what we can do about that. And of course, the SEO Clarity, we've built Visibility Share, we've built tools that help you visualize that and see it at scale to know where you're being challenged with those kinds of things. And conversely, where the opportunities that you might want to concentrate on are.
Absolutely. It's very challenging to be able to paint that picture. I think it's really, really important to understand that success also can't be this linear transaction anymore. And that's really, really important for C-levels to understand whenever they're looking at success roles and goals, I should say, for SEO, and that they don't see that brass bell being rung with 15% increase in organic and organic. It's not about the breadth of traffic. It's about the best traffic. And and if you can actually capitalize on a strategy where Google's actually paying attention to you from a level of authority, we all know that Google's now bringing the citable authorities into news articles as well as any other pieces of information. To be anointed in that space and be trusted by Google that you're providing good wealth of content for its users, that is such a factor of measurable success once you're paying attention to that real estate. So you have to have tool sets that you can actually look back and be able to see the evolution of that real estate at a per rank or at least a cluster of terms that are around a particular topic, be able to see that Google's actually opening up more featured around not only hotels, but something even more niche. It's learning more and more, and it's putting more of these assets that are direct conversations with users right there. Google, one, their principle is to be able to make money in their ads, obviously, but they're also trying to be as useful to the user as possible. And in some ways, that is a counterproductive point to the websites that are being ranked on Google, because if Google can answer that question without that click having to happen, isn't that what they're in the game for?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to be an apologist for Google at all, but you can't blame them for that. That's their business model, and it's not altruistic. They understand that user satisfaction means more ad revenue for them, because you're going to come back and you're going to use Google again, or you're going to stay longer on Google. So that's why they, that's why they're about that. And they're going to go whatever way that their data tells them is most satisfying for the user.
Yep.
So I think another, you know, another useful skill for the SEO is we can waste a lot of time griping about and complaining about changes that Google makes, you know, whether it's featured snippets or, you know, whatever thing that we think is taking traffic from us or, you know, Google putting in its way. But it's far better to deal with the reality and say, okay, where do we pivot?
Yeah.
Analysis to COVID, right? Look at what we all had to do as businesses during the pandemic.
Right.
We didn't ask for it. It wasn't fair. It impacted us in ways that weren't fair. But the businesses that survived and even thrived didn't spend time just collapsing and saying, like, it's not fair that this is taking away our business. But they found ways to pivot. They found ways, okay, right. So where can we expand? Where can we find new avenues of business? Where can we find ways of being useful in the time of a pandemic? So if you want to be taking a very negative analogy, think of Google as a pandemic that you're constantly dealing with. And, you know, if you got to wear your mask or get a vaccine, whatever you got to do. But, you know,
but they're concentrate changing.
On the action you need to take to get to where you want to go.
Absolutely. I thought we were going to gripe about the interlinks into the featured snippets that we were bitching and moaning about earlier this week. I mean, we had a whole clubhouse just talking about how in the world can they put links in the featured snippets?
Well, I guess you probably caught, hopefully you caught that that turned out to be a bug, not a feature. So thankfully.
Oh, I don't know if it was a bug. I think it was an early release, but hey.
Oh, okay.
Just a conspiracy theory on my
part. Conspiracy theories. I like it.
But you're absolutely right. Is you can miss the forest for the trees, and you've got to be able to understand the full context of how Google's presenting you, how Google's presenting whatever it is to its audience, right? Whatever particular term or key concept, as well as how it's presenting your competitor. If you're not paying attention to all the factors, not just a rank, you're going to be missing the argument entirely. So a competitor could actually be losing rank, but still gaining in authority. And that's a key factor.
I think if I may, for just a moment, one of the biggest pieces of evidence that we see on that out of our own data is that the whole set of our clients that we think are, it was the vast majority of them, are doing the right things, are prioritizing the right things, are taking the right actions, all the things that we've been talking about in the previous segment and this one, they're doing those things. We're seeing, despite all the hand-wringing out there over Google SERP features, over, you know, supposed alleged increase in zero clicks, we're seeing these sites consistently, their share of organic traffic is at least holding consistent over the last several years, and in many cases growing. So it doesn't look like in reality, when you come down to what matters, like is Google stealing traffic from us? Maybe it is, but maybe it's stealing it more and more in areas that didn't matter as much as we thought they did.
Exactly.
And I want to be generous and compassionate here and say, like, there are specific industries or types of businesses, yes, that were very impacted. You know, I mean, if your business model was providing the time of day, you know, or even flight information or hotel information these days, some of the things Google did, yeah, they definitely ate your cake, and you need to pivot at a pandemic level. But for most sites, most businesses, they're not seeing, unless they're doing something really bad otherwise, they're not seeing this disaster that some people keep talking about Google stealing traffic. It's just not happening. So I think what's happening is Google's taking away with one hand and giving with the other. They are taking away in some aspects of where, yes, there are things, there are more things that where they're answering right on the SERP page or satisfying the user much more quickly than before. So might, you know, be less likely to click on your site. But in other ways, they're also, for the sites that are doing the right things, the ability to appear and be relevant for a much broader aspect of queries and users, because of things like, you know, going way back to RankBrain, but BERT, the AI technologies that Google is employing, or the ability to understand relevance at a much deeper level than they ever could before, and to match that up in natural language with the way that people actually talk and search, that's where they're giving. So we see people who are really concentrating on making their sites, of course, you know, very technically adept and accessible, you know, not broken, but also, you know, concentrating on building out the breadth and depth of their content, the thoroughness of it, how well it's interlinked, all of these things. that the opportunities to show up at the right time, the right place, and match the user intent, coming back to our topic of this segment, mm-hmm. are greater than ever. And you know, that's where such our focus at SEO Clarity has been, on helping people to understand that and match that up, not just match up like words, you know, right. like the old days, like user A types in words ABC, we have words ABC on our page, therefore, you know, match, right. made in heaven, you should rank us. But understanding more and more the intent and audience similarity across a family of keywords or search queries, and being able to incorporate that in your content strategy, gets you tremendously bigger opportunities than you might have had in the past.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that segue. That was the next and last kind of point along this interview, is actually understanding the opportunities of the new SERP features. And then there's this new, there are new semantic strategies that can be capitalized on. It's not only just reconnaissance of what features are on the SERP, but also now creating a strategy towards, if it actually matches your goals, be able to start feeding those. You have covered in a number of different articles all the different kind of the visible real estate on the organic ranking front: featured snippets, knowledge panels. People also ask site links, top stories, videos, FAQ links, and the like, and all that can be guided and be able to fed into based on a good deal of quality authority from your site to be able to capitalize and position one's website. It's my understanding of what you were just reporting with Jason Bernard, as well as over at Search Engine Journal, there are 810 SERP features that you guys have been able to count over at SEO Clarity.
Way more than that. We actually have identified over 1,200 now.
Oh my Lord.
Different SERP features. Now people say, how can that be even possible?
Right.
Understand, when we're talking about a SERP feature, it's any individual thing that Google puts into the SERP that is not the traditional blue link with two lines of meta description.
Right. Okay? Right.
So this can be everything from big visible things like a featured snippet or an image carousel, down to a star rating, or all these little things that are there. The thing is that all of those. So out of those, we identified, less than 0.2% of them show up in a majority of the SERPs. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely that set that we normally see. So there's this whole, literally hundreds and hundreds of search features that Google uses in very specific queries and very specific circumstances. Mm. But that's an interesting statistic. The more important actual, relevant thing is that on any given SERP, on any given day, it can be a very different situation in terms of the way that the page looks. Certainly. And if you're not paying any attention to that, you're missing a huge factor that you should be looking at in terms of how your visibility is to your for your important queries.
Absolutely, but I'll capitalize on that and go one more step further. Is as you watch the different SERP pieces, the features, right? It actually is a signal back of how Google's understanding that key concept, right?
Yes. Again, SEO Clarity, like we're building out, one of the things that I'm most excited about this past year is what we've done with our topic explorer, our going beyond traditional keyword research to actually topic research, getting down to that level. And we now have a metric that we call intent similarity, which is not just traditional intent, like transactional, informational, local, et cetera, but actually reverse engineering billions of search pages, looking at the audience overlaps of various queries. Hmm. So people who search for my keyword topic that I'm targeting, we can actually measure to the extent of which there is an intent similarity, an end result satisfaction similarity with that Google wants to show people for a wide variety of topical phrases, many of which may not have the same words as our keyword phrase.
Certainly.
But that's the kind of thing we're reverse engineering is showing. And it helps you build out more completeness that, if you're doing it right, ultimately is as beneficial to the user, I think, as to the search engine.
I do want to actually bring us back home to one thing that Pedro Diaz actually left us with in our recent show. He says, you know what? It's better to actually own a particular useful piece of information than be indexed and be able to provide better use for the user than trying to give up all your content as much as possible to just score on the ranking and on the index. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's another factor here of not spilling all your beans on the table and giving all the content away, but actually creating something useful, because ultimately if you're just banking on different platforms to be creating all the value for you, you inevitably won't have full control over it ever. But if you actually invest in content that's not really for the SERP, not really for ranking, but it's for the user, then you start even turning into even more of a favored utility as opposed to just trying to capitalize on the subject matter.
And I think the bigger picture of that is that we see, you know, we can debate how successful they are at it at this mm-hmm. stage and, you know, how much longer it'll take them to get there. Mm-hmm. But it's no doubt about it that Google's goal these days is not just to become the, you know, the answer engine, not to become the Star Trek computer with the answer to everything.
Yep.
I think their real goal, their bigger goal is to be able to understand what satisfies human beings that level. And that's a huge challenge for a machine to do, right?
Absolutely.
That's like the biggest challenge there is, but they're working hard at it. And we see them, you know, they're stabbing and I think getting more and more successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that they're, you know, in the past, there may have been this gap between, you know, what makes the search engine happy and what makes users happy. And as SEOs, we probably, because of where our job lies, we probably tended to concentrate in the past on what made the search engine happy.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't think you need to think that way anymore, because Google is pressing more and more to bring those together.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, their goal is for those to match up more and more. So it's not at odds. If you're doing what will satisfy the user, then you'll do that. The hard thing is like, knowing what that is, right? And this is where I think the value comes back around to analysis of Google and SERPs and what they're doing and what they, over time, how they change and they show, you know, what they show in result to a given query.
Yep.
These are clues to, because they're measuring that. They have that data at a scale that none of the rest of us has.
Right.
They see it. And the only reason that they ever change a SERP other than an experiment is because they can actually discern the more accurately the intent of that query. And so if you analyze, which is what we're trying to do at huge scale, analyze what they're changing about a search, what rank, not only what ranks, but what shows up on the whole page, and going down to the, we actually go down to the content level. We go into the content of the, you know, the first page results.
Oh, wow.
And analyze that, those pages and what's on those pages. You put all that information together and you begin to get a much clearer picture of, oh, they understand, like, this is what people are really asking for when they type that in. So my job is design a page that is the best possible result for that intent. That's it.
Design that page and even possibly put your thinking cap on and be able to do some predictive analysis of, okay, they're answering this question, but I'm subject matter expert enough to know they also need this answer as well that's not showing up. And then you've actually, the game's afoot. Because now you're going to feed Google even more particular information because it doesn't have it yet.
Yeah, that's why our clients are raving over this Topic Explorer tool, because it does that work for them. It actually shows them that. It gives them those insights. Then once you see them, like, oh, that makes sense that people that are searching this would also want to know this. But that never came up in my brainstorming. You know, that never came up in my keyword research.
Huh.
But Google sees it. And this tool is helping me to kind of reverse engineer that.
There you go.
And to see these things also matter to that audience. So I should, whether I include them in separate pieces of content that are interlinked with this, or I include them as part of my main content piece,
yep,
you know, that they should be on my site.
Yeah. Keywords are evidence of where we've been, not where we're going. And we've got a heck of a lot more, a better story if you start mining your own subject matter expertise of your clients and say, you know what, you have these answers and you can put them right there. So fantastic, Mark. I truly appreciate this. And I can't wait to get a gander at the tool there. What bugs you about your SEO industry right now? Is that a whole other show?
It might be a whole show. I love this industry. There's not actually a lot that bugs me about it. I think it's one of the things that just comes to mind, and this is like fresh on my mind because I've been thinking about it this week, is how challenging and difficult it is for anybody new coming into the industry or anybody junior in it to know who to trust and who to listen to and who to learn from. I think that's becoming increasingly difficult. Social media has made, you know, we always talk about social media being both a blessing and a curse, right?
Sure.
You know, it's we have access to so many more people, so much more information, but that means also so much more people, so much more information, and not all of those are good. So
yeah, you're right.
Being able to, you know, suss out like where's the reliable information, who should I really be listening to? It's a I think a more difficult challenge than ever. And I think if there's anything else, you know, it would be you know, just people who get still too stuck in the tactical level. You can't do that and grow. You know, he's got, we started out this show in the first segment talking about scale,
right?
And everything, like your job number one, I think, as an SEO these days is how can I scale what I do? How can I not only get the data, but get faster to the insights and get right to the action that I need to do? I think the SEOs that are successful are the ones who are figuring out the ways to do that.
Absolutely. Well, conversely, what excites you about your industry right now?
The very same thing that we have, that we have more access, more insights, more sharing going on than ever in the SEO communities. It's been a little bit side railed by, you know, not being able to do in-person conferences and things like that this past year or so, those opportunities, but we're finding other ways to do that. And I think a little bit more, and I know there's people out there who will vehemently disagree with me on this, but I think that we're building slowly but surely better communication between us and Google in particular and their representatives. I feel like, you know, everybody bemoans, and I'm right there with them. Everybody bemoans are losing Matt Cutts to the industry and access to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the new guard, the new guys that are coming in are finding their place. I think they're sincerely trying to help us in as much as they can. So that's something that's very encouraging to me. I think there's, you know, more, as much as they can, you know, more transparency, more. I think this recent communication we talked about earlier in terms of the page.
Core Web Vitals.
Core Web Vitals, yeah. Page Experience Update, which is the bigger name of it.
Right.
You know, them, you know, coming out and saying like, you know, hey, at the end of the day, this is not going to be as big a deal as some of you are making out of it. You know, like telling us things like that is really good. And that kind of communication that we need and helping us to be on the right priorities. So I'm encouraged by that.
Very good. Very good. Well, is there anything that we can promote for you today?
I just love to make people aware of the free stuff that we have.
I love free stuff. Yeah.
Always great. Free stuff. Number one on that list is our literally award-winning, won the U.S. Search Awards last year, schema.dev, which is our schema builder and tester tools. I literally think it's the best thing, the easiest thing to use out there for this point and click building structured data on your site, testing it and validating it. Check it out again. That's at schema.dev, that simple, absolutely free. And the other thing is just search for SEO Clarity Spark. Anybody we can get to try our free browser plugin, it's our Spark Content Optimizer, gives you so much incredible free information on any page that you're looking at on the web. Just check it out. Download it. I'd love to hear from you how you like it. But just Google SEO or SEO Clarity Spark. You'll find it.
I think I'll like that already. I love the name. All right. Well, final thought for our SEO and digital marketing audience today, Mark.
Keep your eyes on the big prize. Always think in terms of your priorities. Do everything you can to integrate yourself into the entire marketing scheme of your organization and be hyper useful. Scale.
Thank you so much, Mark. It was a great pleasure to talk to you today, and we would welcome you back at any point in time. I can't believe that we've gone on our 10th season and we haven't talked to you, and you got some fantastic information. So you are always welcome back on the show, sir.
Thank you. It was very enjoyable experience, and I'd be glad to come back anytime.
Fantastic. Well, we want our users to actually track Mark down at Mark Traphagen. That's P-H-A-G-E-N. And he's also on LinkedIn at Mark Traphagen. And we're certainly, you're writing constantly, and you're on numerous different shows regularly. So can't swing a dead cat and not hit Mark, right?
Yeah, I'm covered in dead cat odor. It's terrible. You know, it's hard to get off.
I'm glad he was able to. Good for him, sir, because usually it stops people in their tracks. I don't even know where I got that euphemism for. I blame my dad from Texas. I don't know.
It sounds Texan, yeah.
It really is. Thanks so much, Mark. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to The Edge of the Web on YouTube. And if you're really feeling up to it today, give us a quick review on this show over at iTunes. It's valuable for our marketing and visibility in the iTunes algorithm. Thanks to our sponsor, Site Strategics. Be sure to check out all the must-see videos over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. We'll be talking to you next week. Be sure to check out our news happening each and every Tuesday, all the digital marketing news with the indomitable Morty Overstein. So from all of us over at Edge, be safe, be well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.